Welcome in. It's SB Pod, this Thanksgiving week special. Weren't sure we were going to have one, but Bud Dupree of the Pittsburgh Steelers, kind enough to stop by. Listen to Steve slip into a country accent. It's fun. It just happens. He slips into a little bit of a country accent talking to Bud. And we talk 10-0 Steelers. We talk Baltimore Ravens rivalry, what makes it the best rivalry in football, which it is, and what was the difference between the gear they got in Lexington on the football team and what the basketball team got in Lexington. I think Bud's reaction to that is as funny as anything else. Also, I profess my love for Mike Tomlin, which, as we know, I'd run through a wall for that man. I couldn't now because I'm old. I would just run into a wall and hurt myself. So I guess really I would run into a wall and hurt my knees and my head for Mike Tomlin. And that's pathetic, isn't it? It's a pathetic way to pitch what I would do. I just think Tomlin's awesome. What else do we have? We talk college basketball. Normally it's feast week, right? You got tournaments all over the place. You got tournaments in Charleston and Myrtle Beach and down in Florida and Orlando and out in Maui, obviously. And now the college basketball season is trying to start, and good luck. It is just, it's a lot, a whole lot, as everything is right now. So a little bit of chit-chat about that. Also, want to remind you to listen to Stanford Steve and the Bear. They're doing another podcast on Wednesday. That's how much they love you. I'm done. I'm not doing anything else for anybody but me. I'm leaving. But Steve's doing more because he's better than me. All right, here comes Bud Dupree.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And action.
But I'm a former tight end myself, and going back and seeing your name, you were a tight end.
Yeah.
And doing some homework, you know, that there was a promise made that you were going to be a tight end in Lexington. And tell me if I'm right or wrong here. It took one day for them to take you and move you to outside backer. Is that true?
Yeah. So I did the summer workouts, you know. We really don't build a position then, so I did the whole workouts, thinking I was going to be a tight end, all that, with the tight end group, working out with those guys in the weight room. Then the first day of training camp, the outside linebacker, Ridge, he had got hurt, or he got in trouble. He got in trouble, so they kicked him off the team.
Mm-hmm.
Then coach was like, but we're going to put you at outside linebacker. Then I was like, and I was like, man, I don't want to play outside linebacker. I thought I was going to play tight end. But that's what they want to do all along anyway, you know what I'm saying? So that was just a perfect opportunity for them to do it. And then it just worked out like that. You know, we had a long talk, me and Joker. Coach Joker had a long talk. Now, I was kind of like worried, thinking I was going to transfer. You know, it was a whole dilemma behind it. And then I had number 83, and I changed to number 2.
Mm.
So I just told him, let me get number 2, and I'll stay. So I kind of like just held it over the head.
What was the biggest change, man? Because, I mean, like I said, I'm an offensive guy, and now, I mean, listen, when I'm watching the Steelers right now, I'm watching you because of how hard you play. I remember you at Kentucky. What did you take from tight end like that? What made you feel like you had an advantage playing D end, knowing you had experience playing tight end your whole life?
Even when, like, in college, when I first got to Kentucky, we weren't technically with the coaches, we were still doing like 7-on-7 type with just the team as the quarterbacks and against the offense and the defense. And all the guys on defense were like, man, you playing tight end, but you got a defensive mindset the whole time. They were like, you got a defensive mindset, man. You might well play defense. So people on defense really want me to play defense the whole time too in Kentucky. So, you know, just switching over right away, I always had the mentality that, I mean, I played defense in high school as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had the mentality that I wanted to hit people hard. So I just knew. I mean, I didn't really know no skills. I just knew I wanted to hit people hard, and I thought that was the being one of the best. That's how you be the best player on defense, is hitting people the hardest.
That happens everywhere.
All the time.
Especially in the SEC. Like, you got to say what you got to say to get sure. a guy, right?
No, for sure. You got to sell them a dream. That's the number one rule of recruiting. You got to make them think. You got to sell them a dream. They sold me a dream, and I was telling the wild thing about it, I was telling teams, like, I don't know. I was, like, one of the first ones from my area to kind of get recruited, like, D1 in a high level. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have people with me that were really understanding the whole recruiting process. So, you know, I'm just going into the meetings, listening to the coaches, taking everything in. They're asking me questions. I'm being openly blunt with them. Like, I don't want to play defense. I want to play offense. And, like, and people are like, well, we want you to play defense here. You're going to play, like, UGA. We want you to play defense here. I'm like, bro, I don't want to play defense. I want to play offense. Well, I just go to another school. Like, wild stuff. I'm like, bro, you don't supposed to say like that. Like, you know, it's like, it's like, I ain't know. I had no recruiting tips at all. Now I look back on, I mean, it worked out at Kentucky too, but I probably could have went to another school.
One more on that. They sell you on a dream, right? And and all your games at Kentucky, when I go back and I think about, there was nothing more hype than you getting that pick six against South Carolina. Now, you played NFL playoff games. You played NFL stadiums. I know this year is different with no fans, but there is not a better atmosphere you ever played in than that pick six against South Carolina. Tell me wrong.
No, that's wild. So, yeah, that was that moment, that was the loudest I ever heard. The stadium that time, you know, people walking up to me, I ain't never heard a stadium like this before. And, you know, man, it was a great play, man. And just the fact that we won the game with it made it that much bigger, because people jumping out of the bleachers.
Joker now is in Maryland. And he's down there with my guy, Coach Locks at Maryland. And Coach Tomlin's son is playing at Maryland. Coach Tomlin's son is there at the University of Maryland. So there's a little bit of tie in with Joker. But I am a monstrous Coach Tomlin fan. All right. Mm. I talk for a living. Okay. That man never misspeaks. Like, he has a direct message. He says what he means. And it's no bull with that guy. Or if it is, he just never wobbles from the bull. It's amazing to me, his ability to communicate when it's no cameras and it's just you guys in a room. Yeah. Is that who you get?
The same person. Coach Tomlin is tight. Like, this is Coach Tomlin's approach to the game in every day in life is the same way. Like, no matter what happened the day before, live in the moment, take advantage of the opportunity, you know, perfect your details, you know, details overweigh everything. Mm-hmm. You know, he always said, you know, the rule to getting better is showing up. So no matter how you feel, just wake up in the morning, just do it again. And, like, you know, he's the type of person who he don't hide stuff. So if you're battling for a position, if it's three of you guys battling for a position, only two of you can make the team. He will put three of y'all faces on the board and be like, they are battling for this spot. They're battling for their life. And don't get pissed off at practice day if you find them going harder than you really want to work. So that makes everybody at practice know you can't come to practice sleeping. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be in practice on edge every day, because somebody's trying to get a job, especially during training camp. That's how training camp is. That's how you keep it so competitive. You know, during the season, more laid back guys. I already know the starters and the depth chart and stuff like that.
Okay, so at the moment, look, doing what we do, if you're perfect, all right, we start paying attention. Only one team did it and got all the way home, and it's Miami back in the day. But, like, I don't get that caught up in it, because ultimately what matters is who wins the last game, not who's the last team to lose a game. You know what I mean? But, like, I just wonder, has the approach at all for you guys changed as a result of getting this far down the road with a clean record?
No, the approach hasn't changed at all. You know, we're still the same way. You know, day in, day out. You know, mm-hmm. the practices are the same. Everybody's coaching it the same. You know, sometimes if you start winning, coaches can panic, and even if you're winning too much, they can start panicking, start trying to make sure that, you know, and start just overthinking the process on things like that. Also, players can too. Players can start overthinking the process and start trying to think it's more magical stuff to the process that you've already been doing. And, you know, when you're losing, you know, people are going to be trying to find ways to win. So it's coming from everywhere, changing the way the day goes, changing the way everything else is. Like, this whole year has been nothing but steady. the players have been steady, the coaches have been steady, the game plans have been steady. You know, even the cafeteria people have been steady. You know, that plays a big role in your preparation. That everything is kind of how you want it to flow and right, and everyone has the same agenda. And
that's interesting, Bud, though, because like you're talking about consistent and steady in a season where everything is so. I mean, look at Baltimore. I mean, it's a short week. They find out two of their starting running backs are in COVID protocol now. Like, it's so difficult to maintain anything. So it sounds like what you're saying is that your team, you're able to maybe in the midst of all this craziness, the team is what gives you guys some sense of normalcy. Is that what it is?
Definitely. And that's what keeps all of us relaxed in this environment right now in the world that we're in. You know, just being in the locker room, man, knowing that we're playing good football, knowing that even through the adversity, man, that we still can do it. So putting our minds and ourselves to the challenge, trying to keep each other out of harm's way, you know, thinking about our family, thinking about someone else's family like it's our family. So the people around us making sure that they're being safe and we're being safe around those as well, you know, because, you know, that plays a big role in the game, man. And you know, just – and like I said, man, everyone has the same mindset on our team this year, and that is don't get distracted and just going to get to that main goal.
I believe Baltimore-Pittsburgh is the best rivalry in the National Football League. I've felt that way for many years. What is Baltimore week like? This is a short one. It's a Thanksgiving. You know, everybody's laying around all passed out, in and out of a turkey coma, this and that. Like watching you guys play, presuming the game can go. What is Baltimore week like for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Man, Baltimore week is if we know what we're going to get. It's going to be a physical game, man, physical tough battle game. You know, they're coming to win. They hate us just like. You know, it's just one of those games. They hate us. We hate them. They want to keep their playoff shots alive by knocking us off. You know, we want to go in and secure our spot by getting a win on them. And, you know, it's this game still means a lot for both teams in a tremendous way, man. And those guys are going to be chippy. We're going to be chippy. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And if it was fans, it would be totally different than it is now. But even without fans, it's still super competitive. And, you know, you're going to get the old school grimy game.
Bud, what do you think about the Titans going on the middle of the field against the Ravens? Was that some BS or what?
What they did?
Before the game, they got into it. You know, the two coaches got after it, and the Titans went to the 50-yard line and kind of, like, stomped on the Ravens' shield. You guys buy into any of that? You didn't see that one?
No, I ain't see that. I got to go see that. But, man, the only team who gets us out of Cadillac like that is Cincinnati. But – all the players who got us out of carriage on Cincinnati, they no longer play for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So this year, the first game, all the older guys, we know what type of game it is when Burford didn't play in.
Yeah.
Kirkpatrick and, you know, all the guys that was there then, AJ was playing good. And, you know, it's just a lot going on, a lot of trash talk, roughing the passers, a lot of plays after the ball. And, so, you know, this year, all the older guys was thinking that it still may be that type of game, and it's totally different when those players are gone, man. And it's not even the same no more. It's just back to a rival game now, but without the chippy and without all the extra. So it's just back to a regular rival game without all the extra stuff.
Well, you said something about chippy with Baltimore, and I get it. But and Steve, he played. Obviously, you play. You'd know better than me. But, like, how do you find the line, Bud, with what the extra is without being extra extra? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you find the line?
Me personally, I feel like it just be in between plays. So, for instance, like if an O-lineman got a good block on me in the Cincinnati game compared to the Ravens game. If one got me in the Ravens game, they got me and they'll just like kind of like walk away and then they know they got me. With Cincinnati, if they got me, they're going to let you know they got it. They're going to say something to you. They may push you, try to finish you to the ground. They, you know, just different stuff like that. You know, accidentally kick you when they walking by.
Accidentally.
It's that type of game. That's how it is. And so we return the favor, and that's how it is.
What quarterback in the league talks the most junk?
Oh, Phillip.
Rivers?
Yeah.
What's he say?
You say everything will come to his mind.
He don't cuss, though, right?
Did you see him pick Mike Hilton up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
he can't be saying too much when he's falling down trying to tackle people.
I know, right?
You guys get them. You guys get them late in the year. But see, like to me, and I try not to cuss too much, but it's kind of a bad habit. Sometimes it slips in. But like, I would just laugh at somebody. Phillip's all like, he's saying a bunch of words, but not cuss words. Like trying to invent words that sound close, right? Like to me, I would just laugh and say, say mother. Something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what he is. But he's gonna continue to talk every time, all the time, man. That's just what he does, man. And it's funny, man. It's funny because it's just funny seeing it from him.
I agree.
It is funny. So, like, if he can either make you real mad or he can make you laugh, like you said.
In the big picture in the AFC, obviously the Chiefs are the champs, and you guys are perfect. And you guys, I think, don't get distracted. And correct me if I'm wrong. Like, is 16-0, like, is that a thing? Is that a topic? I mean, it doesn't mean you get a – you guys are in a city where rings matter. Like, but I what is it? What is a perfect record for you guys right now, Thanksgiving week? What is it?
Perfect record is win a Super Bowl.
That's a perfect record. That's way more important than 16-0, right?
No, for real. Way more important. Say, for instance. What if Coach Tomlin make a coaching decision if we are undefeated by the end of the season and he take the starters out and we lose a game?
Mm-hmm. Just tell me.
Just some speaking like that. Like, what if we lose that way?
Eyes are still on the prize.
And then we're still not undefeated. So then people are going to be saying, oh, well, they aren't undefeated. And would it change your mind that we win the Super Bowl? Don't have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl?
No, of course not. No. Of course not. But – I mean, because what matters in Pittsburgh is a title, not a perfect record. It sounds like that's what you're saying. So, I mean, if rest made more sense and he said, hey, we're going to rest, guys, what would your reaction to that be? What would your reaction be?
Oh, me personally, I'm in the country. So
I was going to ask you about that. How do you, because look, like I was talking to a guy in the NBA, all right? He's watching all these guys get their money and he's not in a contract year, but he knows that if he does what he's supposed to do next year, he is going to get the bag. How do you focus on just the work and not the end result? I would think that would be difficult.
Oh, that is, you know, it is difficult. You just got to dial in. Just dial in and know the better you play as a team and as an individual. That's going to keep adding. That'll keep adding up. And so I just think about it like being my best self in the moment. You know, every day when I go to practice, I'm trying to find something to get better at. Because, you know, during this second half of the season, you know, things become real repetitive, like we said. You know, practices, you know all the plays by now. Mm-hmm. So you got to just find ways. You've been running the same plays from week one of training camp until now. So you want to make sure that you're not just doing the same thing and trying to find something to get better at of those plays that you're running. Because you can find yourself complacent in it. If a play works so much, you'd be like, oh, I know Minka might catch his interception. This is a play Minka always catch an interception on. If you're not thinking about getting better in detail in my work, then what if Minka doesn't catch an interception? Then they're going to look down there, look at us. So we got to make sure that we keep finding the tuning in this time of year.
How good's Minka?
Oh, absolute monster. Minka good, man. Minka real good. Hey. It's wild watching Minka, man. Like,
I agree.
How he breaks on the ball. He know route concept so well, man. He'll like, when I'm in coverage in the game, I turn around and look at Minka just for him to tell me the route. And then this year, at least, whatever he told me this year, it has happened, except probably like one time.
Speaking of the locker room, there's been a lot of talk out of your locker room from the Mac guys. You and Minka, SEC guys, got to be laughing at those dudes, right?
Yeah, man. Even me going to Kentucky, man, you know, I still can hold a fist over the Mac head.
Are they trying to get a little bit chippy and talking? I mean, I saw the picture with Coach Tomlin after he you know, I mean, I get Ben. I mean, he reps the Mac. And there's some, like Deontay, there's a bunch of guys that can play from that league. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been a lot, but like, I mean, you know, SEC is a whole different zip code, man.
Hey, going back to Kentucky, bud, if they played, who wins? Anthony Davis, Kentucky team, or Carl Anthony Towns, Kentucky team?
Ooh. Anthony Davis.
Really? You don't believe that.
Carl's team was better, I think. But I think Anthony Davis' team was tougher.
Yeah.
What was the difference between being a basketball player and a football player, Kentucky?
Oh, man.
Here we go. No ski lodge.
Everything was the difference.
Better shoes.
Better gear.
Better dorms. Better food options.
Better laptops.
Better laptops. Hey, better, more missed days in school.
Don't get anybody in trouble now. All right. Hey, listen, on the way out, I just one last question about how much it sucks to play on Thursday. Like Thanksgiving, I get it, America, this and that. But like every guy I've ever talked to, like it's Monday, you're still hurting. And you got to play on Thursday. Like how hard is the Thursday game, especially against a rival like Baltimore?
Man, it's going to be hard, man. Guys, I walk in the locker room, they know it's Monday. So, you know, this is the worst day of recovery.
What does it feel like?
Oh, Mondays after the game? Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst time. That's the worst time of my football life on Mondays, the day after, every day.
But we're talking to you on a Monday. Like right now, by Monday evening, you starting to stop walking like an old man. Are you all right? You good?
Yeah, Monday, you can walk like an old man.
Right to every the ice tub. Like,
oh, man. Then Tuesday, it'll start to loosen up. By the time Wednesday after practice, you should be good.
And then you got to play on Thursday. But listen, it's a short week, and it's Baltimore, and you got a lot to do. And Steve and I appreciate you stopping in. I appreciate the way you play. I wish you good health, a happy Thanksgiving, blessings to you and your family, and continued success down there in Pittsburgh. But appreciate the time, man.
All right, man. Thank y'all.
Bud told the truth on that basketball football piece down there in Kentucky.
You know why? Because he lived it.
Well, without question. You know? Like you took your trip to North Carolina. You've always told that recruiting story when you went down to Carolina and how the football guys explained the difference between football and basketball in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, they got to go into the Dean Dome. The Dean Dome's just basketball only. You don't get to go in there if you're any other kind of athlete. It's just great to see different, you know, you hear, you know, not fairy tales, but, you know, just, you know.
Sure.
Stories.
Well, I
mean. About how things work at certain universities. And,
well, imagine being a basketball player in Chapel Hill or in Lexington. You are.
What would you rather be, Lexington or Chapel Hill basketball player?
Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
That's just ACC. That's just my ACC blood speaking. That's all it is.
But you're Big Ten Scotty.
I am, but I grew up in the ACC. I mean, look, and this is not meant to rile up the always reasonable Big Blue Nation. I just like that color blue. You got better gear options. The Carolina swag is insane. Mm. Insane. That's what I'm thinking gear. I'm thinking
all the way up to the roof.
Walking around Calabria style. What's up?
Oh,
what's up,
Dante?
But I think what's interesting, and it's different in Pittsburgh. I really think it is. I think Pittsburgh fans more so than really, I mean, any other. New England's different because New England flirted with the whole unbeaten season. Then they got beat at the last, you know? Mm-hmm. So like the idea of a perfect year for them, they did it. And then they didn't. And so it crashed in the worst possible way. But like if you say in Pittsburgh right now, hey, you guys are 10-0 and not what would you rather have? Because obviously you'd rather have – I mean, here we go. They'd rather go to the Super Bowl. Understood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more so perhaps than any other fan base, San Francisco could get in the conversation from years ago. Not Dallas. It's been too long. And New England because they lost the perfect season. I think Pittsburgh, if they lost one, their fans are like, whatever. We don't – it's not the primary goal. I think what we want is to win more jewelry. So whatever we get, we get.
I here's the question. I feel like just talking to like Bud there and knowing, you know, we've been there. We've been to, you know, a couple practices when we did the show from there.
Latrobe.
You could tell Tomlin, if he's brought it up, he's just said, let's get there and we'll discuss it then. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're not commenting on it. It's not going to be a question answered here. Let's get there. So
he's so good at taking something that could be a distraction and just diffusing it with, you know, like the other day, like Roethlisberger joked about how he didn't practice because he had he was in that COVID protocol for a week because of a close contact. And then he went out and was great. And, you know, Ben suggested that maybe he shouldn't practice because he played so well. And Tomlin said, yes, that was a short discussion that we had. And I informed him that I would see him at practice on Thursday. I mean, that's it. That's how long the question simmers as a conversation with somebody like Tomlin. So, I mean, he's always going to just take the topic, diffuse it. It's a Belichick kind of thing, but it's just done in a more demonstrative way.
No way. No doubt.
Belichick throws it away. Tomlin just delivers it in a way. As you know, I love how that man communicates. He's my absolute favorite in terms of messaging from a coach.
He has the most absolute way of answering a question with a tone and in the meantime telling you back, don't ask it again. That's what he does.
But he answers it.
He will
thoroughly answer the question in a manner in which you understand that the question has been answered and will not be asked again. Okay, Mike. Yep, we're good. Moving on. Steamrolling into feast week. It's Thanksgiving week, Steve. We're talking early. We're off for a little bit of time. What's wrong?
What are we doing?
I don't know.
The last 20 years, Wednesdays were you go scout a game for the Chargers on Wednesday night.
That's
you
in go Sonya.
Norwoods. Yeah. Go to Norwoods, watch the Maui Invitational title game, and then go beat Nagy Thanksgiving morning.
AVP. That's a
what do
very,
we do now? Are we not going to we don't have Maui? Are we going to have a college basketball game?
I don't know. That was a very inside the valley reference for our Connecticut downstate folks there, what just happened there. What Steve's describing is the tradition Valley New Year around Thanksgiving, where you'd celebrate Wednesday with the Maui Invitational Final, undoubtedly some action on the game, and then a Thursday morning Thanksgiving football game. Well, Maui, there is no Maui this year. And I wrote one big thing for Monday Night SportsCenter about how college basketball has had longer than anyone to try to get a plan. And the season's supposed to start. And on Monday, the news never stopped about teams that couldn't start. Yeah, you got Scott Drew at Baylor, who's positive. So Arizona State was supposed to play them in a tournament game in Connecticut at Mohegan Sun. And Arizona State's like, well, we're not coming. Baylor said, okay, we'll get out. So Arizona State said, okay, we'll come. As we tape this, we have no idea who they're playing. Meanwhile, Tennessee's supposed to have an on-site tournament where they're going to play, I think, Charlotte and VCU. Rick Barnes, Tennessee's coach, tests positive. They're supposed to play Gonzaga in early December. That game, for the moment, is up in the air. Baylor, Gonzaga, Tennessee, we're talking about some of the better teams in the country, and we have no idea how they're going to start their season. And not long ago, this NCAA put out there, hey, we're going to have this bubble sort of environment where it's going to be one site, probably Indianapolis, which is a great city to host a Final Four. They've got the infrastructure. They love basketball. It's perfect. But the idea, Steve, of talking about the end of a season that we have no idea how to even start seems like, well, don't know if we need to go buy the beachfront property yet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we're going to get there. I don't know how we're going to get to March and finish this when it just, like, I don't even know how we start. It's just so depressing.
And then we try and break it down, you don't know where to start.
Well, no, because there's no rules. Like, I mean,
who's calling the shots here?
Well, it's the NCAA, which means there is no boss. There is no one running the show. There is not one figurehead who's saying, here's how we're going to do this. And protocols are different. I mean, look at what college football did. College football said, this is a bummer. I mean, well, they did it until they kind of had to come up with some alternative plans where the Pac-12 was like, all right, well, look, we can play outside the conference if that's all we can do. But when the Big Ten shut it down, that was a bummer. But when they came back, and by then everyone was just saying, look, we're going to play amongst ourselves. That's going to be a challenge, but we're not going to just introduce all these other people from different areas. We'll try to stay amongst ourselves. It's not perfect, but I understood what they were attempting to do. And I mean, I don't know, man. Look, you love it. I love it. We love college basketball. I was more depressed about that ending than anything else that happened in sports as a result of this whole coronavirus pandemic. And now it's 8 months after the fact since we didn't get a tournament and you're trying to start a season. And it feels far less solid now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. For example, Scott, I'm looking at Gonzaga's schedule, right? They're supposed to play Thursday morning against Kansas in Fort Myers. Then they're supposed to play Friday morning in Fort Myers against Auburn. Then on Wednesday, they're supposed to be in Indianapolis for the Jimmy V Classic to play Tennessee. And then on Saturday in Indianapolis to play Baylor. There's no way.
So the two teams that they're supposed to play that week, yeah. both their coaches currently have COVID.
Correct. Now,
we understand far better in November than we did in March what that means. Tom Izzo got it. He said, hey, look, it's no joke. I think we all understand it's no joke. We've made that clear here. We're not dismissing it. We're not deniers. I think what we realize about the reality for the most healthy of us is that, thank God, it isn't some death sentence. But what it is an incredibly, incredibly littered minefield of obstacles just to try to get to the other side. That's what it is. Because between people being positive and the contact tracing, like, imagine what you just said. Gonzaga is supposed to play two teams in 2 weeks. Both of their coaches currently have it right now. Like, okay, cool schedule. And you know what it feels like? It feels like that college basketball loves, like, and we love Maui, and we love these sexy interconference matchups, mm-hmm. which we get every year, because there isn't as much – there's no penalty to losing that game in basketball. You're still going to make the tournament anyway, and you get to find out in November if you're any good, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in football, it's a little dodgy if we want to get too aggressive out of conference because we can't afford to take too many L's. College basketball, load us up. I don't care if we lose five games. So what? We're going to be good come March. So you're used to having these matchups early. And so where football said we're not going to do that, basketball's mm-hmm. like, we want it. We're doing it. It feels like because they kind of want to.
Yep.
Well, you don't get to do what you want to do right now. No. You know, you kind of have to do what you have to do. And I just, man, it's and again, it's a sport I love. I want it to work more than anything. I don't know how it's going to work. Super, Steve. I'm off. I'm really depressed. Happy Thanksgiving.
Should have got Billis. He'll figure it out.
There you go. Put him in charge.
Yeah.
So no Thanksgiving morning game for you.
No.
What are you going to do?
FaceTime you.
I might be unavailable. Might not be picking up on Thanksgiving morning. I'm going to send out some winners, though.
Are you?
Yeah, 4-2 week. We're not going to go bye week. Went to Augusta and didn't send out picks.
Bye week. You're 4-2 off a bye.
4-2 off a bye and steamrolling into Thanksgiving. We're going to tweet some picks out. And we're going to go sit in the sun, try to get our mind right.
Get her done.
It's very necessary.
It is.
Very necessary. So to Travis, who's trying to make sense of this podcast, to you, my friend, Stanford Steven, to everybody out there, be good, be safe, have a happy and thankful Thanksgiving, and we will circle back and see you guys next week here on SV Pod.